Savino, and Tuesday mornings, first Tuesday of the month at this time, it's Focus on Education with Superintendent of Schools for the Town of Greenwich, Dr. Tony Jones, joining me. Dr. Jones, good morning. Welcome. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you.
All right, and happy October to you.
I can't believe it's already October.
I know, already. The school year is, a month through, right?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get the latest from the COVID-19 pandemic front. How are the numbers going in the schools?
You know, this last week, we started trending down, which was terrific, and we hope that it stays in that direction. You know, overall, I feel like this year, we've been in a really good place, so we're very positive right now.
All right, and how is everybody, you know, this is kind of year two of masking up and social distancing, barriers, things. I mean, how is everybody adapting to that? Has it become second nature now, or is there everybody getting tired of it, or what's kind of the reaction been from students and staff?
You know, I think that when the year started out and we knew that we were going to be back in this place with masks and with mitigation strategies, people were deflated for a week or so before school started just thinking about it. But once you open the doors and the students and the young people are there, it's just right back to business. And it really is, we've been in this for so long that we are accustomed to it. And I think from wearing the mask, people want to be in school. So you can do a lot just knowing that you really want to be with your friends and teachers want to be with their colleagues. We're making it work. And sadly enough, it's gone on so long now. If you look at a kindergartner, you know, they had from September to March, but they're now, in the second grade, and this is really almost the norm for them.
That's all they've known.
Right.
And, last time we spoke, the governor's executive orders went through the end of September. That's now passed, and it's going to be in mid-February. So what do you think about now all this masking up until at least the middle of February?
I think it was anticipated that if he, in fact, got that power back, that this is where we would be. I think that, our health professionals have really done a great job, not only in Greenwich, but also in Connecticut, making sure that they were helping us get our doors open for schools, especially when you compare us to other places around the country. And I think they are going to be cautious. They're going to have a conservative approach and make sure that by the time we take them off, that they feel really good about where we are in keeping everybody safe, because the mitigation strategies have worked. And we know that. And so, again, I'm grateful for all the health professionals that are making some of these difficult decisions. And ultimately, that's where the governor, that's where he leans for his decision making.
All right. And, kind of through the breakdown, it looks as if there have been only two, I guess, cases, the latest COVID tracker. Has there been many people in quarantine, and have they had to remote learn from home? How has that worked out?
Primarily, compared to last year, the numbers have been very low. We had a week or so where there were pockets, for instance, like a child's birthday party. There were two birthday parties, and a lot of the kids attended both of those parties, and there was a positive case. So, it put several children in that K-5 range into quarantine. That happens. But for the most part, we are finding that, it's relatively low, and it tends to be a few children here or there that had a family exposure that are having to quarantine.
And then they remote learn from home? Is that how it works?
It's very similar to last year in that in 6 through 12, the students, they must be in a district quarantine. It can't just be because I want to be home or I have I'm not feeling great today, I'm going to stay home. It has to be a district-issued quarantine. They can web stream back in. They get a unique link from their teachers, and they hop on, and that way they can follow their classes and web stream. In K-5, they work directly with their teacher. If it is the entire class, they go full remote, just like they did last year, which, again, they're only allowed to do if it's because they're in a district-required quarantine or isolation. Then we can use remote. That's the only time. And if it's just one or two students, they work directly with the teacher. Some of them do like a morning meeting with the children, set up their work for the day. And it depends on the teacher, just like it has been forever.
Right. All right. So it looks like there are just five current cases, and there looks like the number 64 through the first about month of the school year. Correct.
I believe that's correct.
Right. Okay.
I don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah. We're speaking with the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. This is Focus on Education here on WGCH. Let's talk now about compliance from staff for vaccination or testing. How has that gone?
You know, it's gone really well, considering what an enormous task it is. And I cannot thank our head of nursing, Mary Teller, enough because, you know, last year she was really dealing with just a lot of the quarantines that were, it's a seven-day-a-week job. Now this year we thought, oh, goodness, we're not going to have that. Now it's 7 days a week just, you know, collecting the testing and keeping up with this. We have about 2,000 employees, and because it's everybody, it's our substitutes that are in long-term subs, it's all of our various positions that either have to have their vaccine status registered with us or they're in a testing mode. We believe right now we're down to about 100 individuals that are doing have chosen for a variety of reasons to do the weekly testing, and you know it's quite a task to keep up with that.
Now, what about for students? Let's talk 12 and above who would be eligible for the vaccine. Do they have to get tested if they haven't gotten the vaccine? How does that work?
No, this only applies to school staff. They have not made any decisions about requiring anything for students.
Okay, and of course, the ones 12 and below have not gotten the shot either. Okay. All right, we're speaking with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, here on Focus on Education on AM 1490, FM 105.5, WGCH, WGCH.com, anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. This is Focus on Education with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. And let's talk about the football game from this past Saturday. Dr. Jones, at Cardinal Stadium, were you in attendance, first of all?
I was, and it was terrific. It was perfect weather, and the stadium was just electric. It was fantastic.
What was it like? Could you tell things were still under construction? Any issues from that standpoint?
You know, the construction team did such a great job of putting a fence up with some screening. You really didn't see a whole lot. I think the excitement of being in the stadium and the stands were just so beautiful. Wonderful press box. You know, people knew there were some things that weren't going to be completed, but the idea of having the student athletes on their own field, the cheerleaders on their own field, Cardinal crazies up in the stands, I think everybody looked way past anything that wasn't finished and really looked at the positive and looked at the good of not only having this beautiful stadium, but also coming out of COVID and just having a normal football game at home for the first time since 2019. It was just fabulous.
All right, so what's kind of the update on the work that's progressing there? What's kind of next, and how long before everything is ready to go, fully complete?
Yeah, I mean, we have several items we're working on. One item that was a little tricky had to do with the electric. As you know, there's an elevator for, you know, ADA access. Obviously, we need electric. And we had an easement because the ampage has gone from 200 to 800, the wires must run under the ground. And so Eversource needed approval, and we had to go all the way through the RTM process to get that approval, which just happened just over, I think, a week ago. So Eversource could actually get in there and get us scheduled to start the work, which takes 2 to 3 weeks. So running the electric, we had another issue with Department of Transportation and an easement in where the water line hooks in, which is, of course, critically important for concession and restrooms and things of that nature. Those are two big items that we're working on right now. And then there are just a lot of, you know, smaller finishing items. But, you know, the team is working hard with a target of the 30th to be back home again, either fully, you know, everything done or, you know, three quarters done. But we'll, as we get closer to the 30th, we'll analyze that.
All right, but no issues with hosting the next home game on the 30th?
Well, I can't really speak to that. I mean, I'm certainly very optimistic and positive, but, you know, ultimately we have wonderful people that work for the town of Greenwich that come in, that do their inspections, you know, for multiple different things. And it'll have to be a partnership again, just like it was to get us open on Saturday, to make sure that everything is in the condition it needs to be for safety, first and foremost, because it is a construction site. And, you know, we'll have to go through that process just like we did to get open on Saturday.
All right. And I guess the most important thing is the team won.
Oh, my goodness. It was a great game. It was really wonderful, right down to the last minute.
Right. All right. We're speaking with the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. This is Focus on Education here on WGCH. Let's talk now bus drivers and routes. What's happening there? Any shortage of bus drivers and the routes and so forth? How are things going?
You know, for Greenwich, in comparison to other localities around Connecticut, we've been fantastic. STA has done a great job. Is it a difficult year? Absolutely. There are bus driver shortages to the point it's risen, you know, to the level of the governor and trying to give suggestions and even looking as far as that, you know, are they going to have to utilize National Guard in some communities around Connecticut trying to get children to school? So in comparison to that, we've been great. But we've had afternoons where we've been short 10 drivers. We have 15 drivers, our STA does, that are substitute drivers. But, you know, it's challenging when you have a substitute driver because they get the route, you know, early in the morning. They have to study the route. You know, they have to be able to know where the first stop is and where the last stop is and all of those different addresses and houses. So it's not an easy job. And they've done well. Our biggest impact this year has been just in general traffic around Greenwich is very, very heavy, which is throwing a lot of the route times off, especially the first week or two of school. And we're down to just a few select routes right now that we are still trying to make some adjustments just due to the heavy traffic.
All right. I mean, is it like when I was in school that the substitute bus drivers, the kids try to take advantage of them like they do with the substitute teachers?
You know, we have such wonderful students. I'm sure that does not happen on our buses.
I knew you would say something like that, right? All right. Let's talk about, you know, we have the whistleblower for Facebook is testifying today at a hearing chaired by a Greenwich a resident, Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal. So let's kind of on that note, talk about social media traps for children. I know you wanted to talk about that.
Well, you know, I think that when you look at social media, one of the things that's been happening, and again, not just in Greenwich, it's across the country, is a platform like TikTok, which is what people have heard a lot about, encouraging young people to do these challenges in schools. We've had a little bit of vandalism, mainly like soap dispensers and things of that nature in our high school. Nothing in comparison, again, to some other districts where there has been a large vandalism of expensive items. But really, being aware of the platforms that students are on, that children are on, but especially with these TikTok challenges, you know, we've encouraged parents to just have a conversation with their children and make sure they're making good choices and that they're not being influenced by, you know, a platform and some challenge that says to vandalize things at school or to hurt a person or there are just a variety of different challenges. And it's important to have the conversation because they are young people. They're developing, you know, while we talk about right and wrong, sometimes the spur of the moment, young people can make decisions that are not wise. And especially when you start getting into something like vandalism, depending on the level of vandalism, it can also involve the police. And we don't want any young person to find themselves in that situation.
I mean, there have been some, I guess, a couple $100 worth of damage. Has any of the students been arrested or any kind of that police involvement in that way in these cases?
We've been very fortunate it's been mainly in our high school. We've had a little bit in the middle school where it has been soap dispensers and things of that nature, and they've been able to deal with those, you know, on a case-by-case basis. But it's really making sure that it doesn't go beyond that. You know, I was on a call with some superintendents where they were talking about students who had taken a smart board down and, you know, attempted to move a smart board within the school or damage it. those are very expensive. You're talking about a couple thousand dollars. So that becomes a totally different issue. It's all not okay to damage anything, which I think we would all agree with. But if you rise to that level where you're getting into thousands of dollars, it is a different issue. It goes beyond the school discipline.
Yeah, then it's more serious and police get involved. We're going to take another break. We're with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, on Focus 50 here on AM 1490, FM 105.5, WGCH, WGCH.com, anywhere. Reminder, we've got the news coming up on the hour at 9, then at 9:02, it's Center Stage with Pamela Kuhn till 9:30. Doug Steffen to Debbie Nigro at 11, and this is Focus on Education with Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones. And Dr. Jones, what would any talk be without budget talk? What's the latest?
Well, we are knee-deep in developing the budget for the 22-23 school year that gets presented first week in November. So over the coming weeks, we're, you know, putting the budget book together and working hard in order to get prepared for the budget presentation. And I think it's going to, you know, it's going to be another great budget year, and looking forward to it.
Now, speaking with the school board chairman, Bernstein, a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned that you only gave back like $300,000. Usually you may give more than $1 million. So I guess things are a little bit tighter than they have been in years past as far as that's concerned.
Well, I think we're also trying to reestablish, you know, over the last couple of years, we had cut out a lot of our curriculum funds and professional development, textbook funds, because we were coming in with a percentage increase that was lower than our salaries. And so when you do that, that means you're taking from somewhere else in the budget. Last year, we were able to restore a little bit and be able to cover our salaries and also build in $650,000 and really, truly, it's closer to $800,000 back into curriculum, which was just terrific. And it's making such an impact this school year, immediately from day one. We have brand new K-8 mathematics materials. It's called Big Ideas. So it's systemic in that, you know, every classroom across the district has the same resources, access to the same materials, and it's really pushed us forward in mathematics K-8, and we really, really needed that. And that's now built back into the budget. So that's what we're doing as we go into next year, making sure we, you know, cover salaries, cover, you know, if there's an increase in transportation, anything like that, and then stay constant with those areas like textbooks and materials, which are so necessary for any school district to stay current.
I mean, I understand you want to update textbooks, but does math change over time? I know history changes and other you know, topic or other subjects. Is math change or the way you teach it?
It's a little bit of both. You know, mathematics, if you see the way that it's taught and how students are solving problems, types of materials that are in front of students, it looks very different than it did several decades ago. The way that they really move towards understanding numbers more so than just rote memorization, which is how it was many years ago, many, many years ago. So having new materials makes a big difference because the materials that are in front of the children, you know, have the new thought process and they have the materials that they need and very, you know, tangible things that they can touch to help, especially in the early grades, in solving those problems.
Speaking with the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, on Focus on Education. Let's get an update on the work being done for the North Mianus Elementary School, as well as how things are going for the students and staff in Stanford.
Wonderful. Perfect timing. I'm actually visiting with North Mianus PTA this evening to do that very thing and to answer some questions. The construction at the main site at North Mianus is going very, very well. Things are on time. We've been able to, up to this point, to get the materials needed, even during the COVID environment, which was a concern that we may not be able to, which has allowed the construction team to work aggressively. And things are working really, really well right now. So we're pleased with that. And I couldn't say enough thanks also to the parent volunteers who have been instrumental, especially on that main campus, helping us with the busing in the morning, because North Hyannis usually has about, I think it's two buses, very few. And because now students come to the main campus, and then from the main campus they head over to Stanford, the third, fourth, and fifth graders, we have eight buses. And just the amount of traffic, the amount of buses on the campus, we really needed some extra eyes, and just, you know, people out there to make sure we keep kids safe. And the parents have just been so instrumental, and I know Principal Schmidt is so appreciative of the volunteer assistance. Then when you get to the Stanford campus, things are going well there. You know, the rooms are large, which the students really enjoy. It's, you know, having third, fourth, and fifth grade back together, the teachers, they're, you know, being with their colleagues all in one area, having your general education and your ALP students in the same building, so that when students leave their general education room to go to ALP, they then come back, you know, to their homeroom, which last spring we weren't able to do that. We had general education in one building, and students who were having ALP services were at another building. So it's just been great from that perspective. We have some things we're continually working on. Just got some feedback from actually the questions that PTA sent, that they want, you know, more for children to play with, for instance, during recess over at Stanford campus, instead of just having the soccer ball in the big field. So we're obviously going to need to look at that very quickly. And we're continually getting feedback on what we can continue to enhance to make sure, you know, we have the very best environment possible.
Does the goal remain to have everybody back at the school in January?
Absolutely, yes. And we're constantly monitoring the schedule. This is a really important month for us, month of October, because of the way the contract is written, in that we have to request very early if we actually wanted to extend the lease. We're not anticipating that that will be the case, because we are on time. One of the biggest challenges is the actual moving students from one campus to the other and trying to make that happen very quickly. So, again, it will depend on things like the sign-offs. We have to work with all the various departments at the town to get our certificate of occupancy to get children back in the building. So when they do those inspections, you know, we hope everything goes really well and things are done correctly and we can get everything done fast. But it's a big move. It was a huge move just getting everything over to the Stanford campus. So getting everybody back in a really short time span is going to be a challenge, but we're up to it.
All right. And then for the younger set, still at the elementary school, things have been pretty much quote unquote normal for them.
It has been, in that they're, you know, in their home school. So that's been terrific to have our youngest learners there.
And then some capital projects, Hamilton Avenue Field's done.
It is, and it's just been so wonderful for that school this year because, you know, last year during COVID, they had a little tiny grass area in the front of the building, and they couldn't access their field. This year, the field is wide open. They're outside, you know, throughout the day, just enjoying every minute of their new field.
All right, fantastic. And let's see, I think that kind of covers everything, and we're out of time. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, as always, thanks very much for your time on this Tuesday morning. Look forward to our next Focus on Education in November.
Wonderful. Thank you. Have a great rest of the week.
Same to you, and enjoy your Halloween also.
Thank you.
Okay. That's Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Tony Jones, on Focus on Education. Dr. Jones.